When the music stops, that's my cue to start. So we'll get started here this morning. Good to see everyone here today. Good to be in God's house with His people this morning. We look forward to our worship service this morning and everyone's participation. So we ask that you join with us as we stand and sing this morning, My Savior's Love, and then our welcome song will be, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Glory, His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Savior's love for me.
My privilege to greet everyone this morning. If we have visitors, welcome to our service. Let's take the opportunity to greet each other as we sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you.
Good morning, everybody. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And we are glad that you are here today. So it's good to see you today. And I trust this will be a good day for you. You've started this day off good by being here. So may God bless you for being here today. We do welcome you today. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook and those who watch by YouTube. And you're a part of our family here. So we welcome you in today. And then those who listen by web radio, we welcome you also. I'll be preaching today from Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 22 is where we'll be going today. And we'll be talking about Simon Peter today, okay? So let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that you've given us to be here. And Lord, we want to worship you today because you're worthy of our worship. I pray today, Lord, that we'd honor you in all that we do and all that we say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I want to draw your attention. There's a lot of announcements in the bulletin. Fall activities, we have those listed there. Also, upward sports, we're starting that. Sign-ups for that's going on. So evaluations will come up in the 1st of November. So you'll see a lot of activity about that as well. So some important dates there to remember and activities. Take note of those that pertain to you and sign up for those that you'd be a part of. Also want to thank all those that helped us with our food drive, our food distribution Friday, or this past Friday. We probably had the biggest crowd we've ever had. We had 20 or 25 folks helping us, so it was a great turnout for that, and then we had a good distribution of food we give to the community here. So it's a great ministry that our church is involved in with Second Harvest, so appreciate the support and help we get with that. We're going to sing two more hymns this morning, two that you're familiar with, He Hideth My Soul and Faith is the Victory. So you join in with us this morning.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus. Shout with the millions on high. Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in pales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind spread, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall he give. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Great songs of faith and hope and victory. Faith is the victory for us, our soul. We know that. We're going to ask that you stand with us as we sing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," and then we'll let you sit on the second one. If you're joining with us, "The Battle Belongs to Him."
See is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Thank you. You may be seated. We would ask that you join in with us as we sing "We Will Remember." It's a one we've sang several times. As we go through difficult times and strife and struggles, we need to remember the good things that God has done for us in His faithfulness during those times and through our life. We will remember.
We will remember. We will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. Walk through life's darkest valley, look back at all you have done. And we will shout, our God is good and He is the faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the one from whom all blessings flow. Still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same. We will remember. Stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is that faithfulness, that faithfulness.
Amen. Thank you. Let's pray together. God, as we give you a hand of applause, God, we thank you for the faithfulness that you've bestowed on our life. Throughout the ages, throughout the years, God, you have remained constant and faithful. We thank you for your love for us, your never-ending presence in our life. We thank you for that day when you spoke our name. Thank you for salvation that comes through one and only, your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in the most powerful name of Him that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Well, that's one of our favorites around here, and we will remember. So thank you for that. Luke 22:31 is where I want to begin reading today, and we'll read a few verses here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan had asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I'd underline that. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. For he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will not deny me three times that you know me. Failure has a way of jarring us. Failure has a way of setting us back on our heels, and it really shocks us when it happens. And so when it does happen, what do we do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here today. And we all know what happens with regret. We understand that. But there are two types of regrets we have. One is just being human, and that's what we're looking at here today. We're looking at a person, Peter, who's human. We see his humanness here. And that's one type of regret we have. I remember years ago reading a story about, to give you an example of human regret, of this airplane mechanic. And I'm not sure which organization he worked for. I don't know if it was Moody or IBM or who, but he was working for one of these mission organizations. And he got distracted, and he was working on the airplane, and he had forgotten to tighten up one of the key bolts on the airplane. And when he came back, he just didn't tighten it up. And so the plane left, taking the missionaries to their destination, and the plane crashed, and all seven missionaries and the pilot were killed. So he had to live with that human error, you know, the rest of his life. But that's one type. But another type of regret is, you know, when we are just willful, sinful, disobedience to what we know that God would have us to do. So that's another kind. But as we look at this story today, what I want to thank you to think about is our own humanness. God doesn't want us to be overcome with regret. He doesn't want that. But what he wants us to do, though, is to, just like Simon Peter here, he wants us to learn from our mistakes. He wants us to learn from our failures. This is a story about a man who had regret. He denied the Lord, and he regretted that. This is not a story about a person who's going to lose their salvation. That's not what this story is about. But what it's about is a story where Satan came to him and involved him into a conflict. And what the Bible called that was sifting. Now, in that day, what that meant was the sifting of the wheat, where they would sift the wheat and they would separate the chaff from the wheat. But what it means is this: God, what God is telling Peter is this. Satan is going to shake you. And that is the message that he has for you and for me today. Satan is going to shake us. And what he wants to do, since he knows that he cannot separate us from God, and since he knows that our salvation is secure in Christ, we know that, that our salvation is in Christ, it is eternal, it's secure. But what he wants, though, is to shake us away from our fellowship with Christ. And so that's what he's after here. And that's what he's doing in the life of Peter. So as Peter goes through this, what we see, though, is a man who had a love for the Lord. He loved the Lord. He did. And he was devoted to the Lord. He was committed to the Lord. But yet here he messed up big time. He went through this place of where he went through this denial. And so Jesus told him, Peter, this is what is going to happen here. And so as he goes through this, though, what he's going to learn are some lessons that I want to kind of talk about now. The first lesson that we see here that Peter learned was a lesson of humility. And see, that's what failure will do to us. That's what our humanness will do to us at times. Because, see, what Peter thought was this. Peter was a very proudful man. And Peter thought that, you know, that he could make it in his own strength. And what he learned here through this failure was that he couldn't make it on his own strength. And on our journey to heaven, folks, what we need to remind ourselves of is our own humanness. We need to be reminded of the fact that what we need more than anything else, we need God's strength. We can't make it in our own strength. We can't make it in our own effort. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the pride that Peter had here. But what it does is this. It really makes us feel like that, you know, pride can take us in two different directions. And I think that's where Peter was. It takes us to that place where we think that we can handle everything on our own, that we don't need God's help. And so that's where Peter was here. But also pride can take us in another direction. And really, it takes us in a direction where we can become very critical, where we can become very judgmental of others. And what humility does, though, it teaches us a great lesson. And Peter learned that lesson, and that's what we need to learn also. But also, it teaches us sympathy. You know, when we go through failure and we go through disappointment and maybe setback in life, it really gives us sympathy when we see others who go through those times of trouble. It gives us a heart for them. It gives us a concern for them. It gives us a love for others as we go through that those things. Someone has said this, and I've written this quote down because I've heard this, and maybe you've heard this, but the quote says this, that the Christian army is the only army in the world that shoots its own wounded. And we need to think about that. And so what Peter learned here, he learned a sympathy from others who go through, you know, difficult times and troubles and setbacks and failures in life. Romans 8:28 is one of the foundational scriptures we find in the Bible. And what that verse tells us, though, is that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. That verse does not say that everything is good. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that everything's always going to work out the way that we want it to work out. But what it does say is this, that God's redemptive work can work through any trouble, any difficulty, any failure, any disappointment we have in life. God's redemptive purpose can work in those situations, just like it did in the life of Peter here. And so as we think about this, we think about the humility, we think about the sympathy that he gained, but also he learned a great lesson about grace. Folks, you know what we learn about failure is this, that the well of grace never runs dry, amen? That God's grace is there for us. And that's what Peter found here. He found a God of grace. He found a God of love. And so he learned these lessons. He learned humility. He learned sympathy. But he also learned a great lesson about the greatness of God's grace. So there's four lessons here that I want to talk about, four truths, and then I'll be through. Number one, when we go through this shaking, when we go through these times of conflict with Satan, the first thing we need to remember is this, that Christ prays for us. And that's what he told Peter here, I'm praying for you. See, we are in an unseen warfare. We are in an invisible battle. The Bible teaches us that as believers, what we have is an adversary. That adversary is Satan. And Satan is real. Peter went through this shaking. In the Old Testament, the counterpart of this would be Job. But I want you to see what the Bible says here, that what Satan did here, he wanted Peter. And he requested of the Lord. He said, you know, the Lord told Peter, he said, Satan has asked for you. He wants you. But the you there is not only, it's not singular, it's just not for Peter. It was for the 11 apostles. It was for others. And it was for you also. Satan wants you. And since he can't steal your salvation, what he wants to do is to really break that fellowship that you have with the Lord. So he's going to shake you. And what it means is we have an adversary, that we are in a conflict. We're in a spiritual battle with Satan all the time. And that's what comes against us. But here's what this verse says to us. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. We have an adversary, but we also have an advocate. We have what the Bible says, a great high priest seated at the right hand of God. You know who that is? That is Jesus Christ. And you know what he's doing? He's praying for us. And the reason he can pray for us is this. He knows where we are. And he knows what we go through. And he knows, you know, how strong the battle can be. Now, Jesus was without sin. But he went through the temptation from Satan in the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan. As he went through his life, he faced things that we face in life. So he knows where we are. So he can pray for us. You know, 30 years after this event took place in the life of Peter, on this night of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, and Jesus getting ready to go to the cross and dying for our sins on the cross, 30 years after his denial, he wrote in 1 Peter. And you know what Peter wrote in his book, in his epistle? He told us this. He said, here's what you need to remember about Satan. He said, Satan is like a lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's going all across the earth to try to, you know, trip you up and to set traps for you and to break this fellowship that you have with the Lord. So Satan is at work, but what he reminds us of is this, that the Lord Jesus is praying for us. Do you know that Jesus is praying for you? And if you want to see the prayer that he prayed for you, just go to John 17. In John 17, you see that great prayer that Jesus prayed for you. And it's called the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed for us. You know what he's praying for there in that prayer? He's praying for your security, and he's praying for my security. So we know that he is praying for us. The second thing we learn here is this, that Christ understands us. In verse 34, look at it there. He said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. You know, the amazing thing about the Lord's omniscience is this, and the thing about his knowledge, he knows things about us that we don't even know about ourselves. Now, he knew what Peter would do. And even though he knew what Peter would do, and even though he predicted the fact that Peter would deny him, he still loved Peter. And he still understood Peter. And so what it says to us, folks, is this. The Lord, he understands us. He knows. He knows our humanness. He knows how hard it is. He knows our struggles. He knows where we are with all this. He knows our circumstances. He knows our weaknesses. And even knowing all that, he still loves us. You know, on Resurrection Sunday, in Mark's Gospel, the Bible tells us this, that what he told, what the angel said was this on that resurrection day, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. You understand that? Do you understand what's going on there? And then the Bible tells us in Luke that the risen Lord appeared to Simon Peter. So again, he's working in his life. He's doing what he needs to do. Then I want to go on to the fourth point here, and that is this, that what Christ does, he restores us. He brings us back. And he brought Peter back into that fellowship that he needed to have with him. If you look at it here, he says in verse 32, he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, what's he doing here? You know what he's doing? He's pronouncing grace before Peter ever had his failure. He's pronouncing grace and a return before Peter ever denied the Lord Jesus. So he pronounces that to him. And if you want to see that story, where it is in John 21. Three times Peter denied the Lord. Three times in John 21, you know what Peter was given? He was given the opportunity by the Lord Jesus there to say, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Jesus said, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Lord, you know that I love you. So he restored Peter. And see, that's what grace is all about. We may fail, we may have disappointments, we may have setbacks in life. And as we all know, as the Bible says, we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We all fail and mess up along the way. But see, there is that place where he comes and he restores us. Why? Because of his work on the cross for us. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins can be forgiven. So here's the thing. How does Satan sift us today? How is Satan going to shake your life? Well, I'll give you these points here, and then then I'll close. Number one, through doubts. The way He shakes us is through doubts. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You know what He did with Adam and Eve? What Satan did? To get them to doubt the Word of God. And so that's where it starts. I mean, he puts all these doubts in our mind about things. And so that's one way He does it. Another way is through desires. Those desires that would lead us, you know, to make a wrong decision or wrong desire, those top things. So that's another way that He does it. Now, what the Bible calls that is temptation. So through temptations, another way. Through disappointments in life. Maybe when things don't work out the way we want them to, or maybe the prayer's not answered the way that we want it to be answered, through disappointments in life. You know, the Bible says of John the Baptist, John the Baptist was one of the greatest men who ever lived. But when John the Baptist was put in prison, eventually he would be beheaded. We know this, that when he was in prison, you know, he really had some discouragement there. He had a disappointment about how things were working out. And he really wondered, you know, if Jesus was really who He said He was and all that. And so Jesus sent word to John the Baptist when he was, you know, going through this time of disappointment and really, you know, thinking about things. When Satan was really shaking John the Baptist, Jesus sent word back to him and tell him, yes, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Savior, I'm the one. And then John received that word of assurance and went on. What do you think about deceit? You see, the way Satan will shake us is through his lies. The Bible tells us that Satan is a father of lies. And really the way he can do it is, I don't, you know, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, he's not going to really tell a whole lie to us at times, but he'll give enough truth to it, you know, to where it's a half-truth. But a half-truth is still a whole lie. You know, that's where it is. But through deceit is how he's going to shake us. And so the Bible tells us that we're going to be in this conflict and that we're going to be shaken at times. Satan's going to really work on you. But in closing, here's the question. How are we going to handle it? What are we going to do? When Satan shakes us, when we find ourselves in this conflict, then what are we going to do? Well, the way to handle it is the same way Peter did here. And if you look at the story, you kind of trace it out here, and you see what happened. And in verse 60, you see the denial here, verse 60, but Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And immediately after his denial, I want you to look what happened. The Bible says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Could you imagine that look? Peter saying, "Lord, I'll never deny you," but here he did. But he said he would not know. But Jesus looked at him. When you think about that look, here's what you need to think about. You need to think about the way he looks at us. How does he look at us? With love, with understanding, with forgiveness, with mercy, with grace. He understands our humanness. He understands that. But he looked at Peter. So what did Peter do? The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. What is that? That's, well, he's repented of it. He's sorry for what he did. And then he returned to the Lord. He came back to the Lord. And we see that in John 21. You know, what this teaches us is this. The way back to the Lord is the way of humility. It is the way of repentance. And that's how we recover. That's how we get back. That's how we get to where we need to be with the Lord. You know what we learned about Peter is this too, is that failure really doesn't have to be final. It doesn't. Now, when he denied the Lord, that, you know, that was a great setback in his life. But this same Peter, years later, in Acts chapter 12, you know where we find Peter? We find Peter boldly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 12, we find Peter in prison because of his faith in Jesus Christ. His failure did not define him. Failure doesn't have to define us. We're going to have failure and setbacks in life. We really are. But we don't have to stay there. You see, what they say is this, that the gospel is the gospel of a second chance. It's the gospel of a new beginning. That's what the gospel is all about, a new beginning, a new start with Jesus Christ. A little later, after Peter was put in prison, he was released. But what tradition tells us is that Peter finally died for his faith in Jesus Christ. And here's what tradition tells us. That when Peter was put to death for his faith, that he did not feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus. And he requested to be crucified upside down. You see, this is a story of grace. It's a story of how we return. It's the story of our commitment and love for the Lord Jesus. In spite of our humanness, in spite of all our mess ups and failures and sins along the way, then there is a place of grace. And I want you to know today that there is a place of a new beginning for you. There's a place of a new beginning for me. And it's found at the foot of the cross. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's where your new beginning can start today. To be saved, to know Him, and to trust Him. Like I said earlier, the fountain of grace never runs dry. And it's available to all of us today. And aren't you glad of that? I'm glad for His grace, and His mercy, and His love that He gives to us. We see it in Peter, and we see it also in our own lives. Let's stand together for our prayer. Father, today we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the story about Peter. And Peter is so much like all of us here today. Peter was human, and we're human. And You understand our humanness. But You also understand this. You understand our need. And in our time of need, You come to us exactly where we need You. And Lord, today, we thank You for Your grace, for Your understanding, and for Your love. We thank You that at Calvary, there is that place of a new beginning. For those who need to come today, those who need to be saved, for those who need to take that step of a new beginning today, I pray that they would take that step today and come to You. And Lord, as believers, as those who love You and who are committed to You, remind us of this story. Father, remind us of Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness, because, Lord, we need it. Remind us that we can't make it in our own strength. We need You. We need Your help. So, Lord, we thank You for this story of redemption and grace and love that we talked about today. And we are thankful that we can claim this story as our own today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am. To Thee, O Lord.
appreciate you being here today. And, you know, those of us today who are believers, we all have that testimony of a changed life and how God changes. And, you know, none of us are perfect. And, you know, we're not what we used to be. But thank God we're not what we're going to be either. So we just, you know, we just go along. We stay faithful to the Lord. We love Him. And He helps us. He really does. So go with that thought today. The praise team will come and they'll dismiss us in our closing course today.
So close the service. We'll sing the chorus of God Will Make a Way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Thank you, you're dismissed.
See, they did this and say,